Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, our weekly performing arts magazine here on local public radio, KLW. I'm your host, David Latulippe. Well, you're in for a treat this hour if you stay with us, and I hope that you do. We'll have a live performance from the Black Cedar Trio, which is flutist Chris Palmer, guitarist Steve Lin, and cellist Nancy Kim. Glenn Haviland, director of the Theater of Others, production of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew, will be here to talk about this new production at the new Kelly Cullen Community Auditorium in the Tenderloin. And I'm very pleased to welcome to the microphone Mr. Will Durst. Will is acting as guest co-host today during Open Air, his one-man show, LSD to OMG, will be on tour and down in San Jose in a couple of days. Will, thanks so much for coming on today.
Latulippe, how you doing, man?
I'm not bad.
Yeah, you look good, except for the skateboarding re-injury thingy deal that you got on your arm.
I'm gonna call it, you know, advanced snowboarding injury. It sounds much more hip for me.
And grown up. You know, you hear skateboarding and everybody just immediately goes, dude, what are you? Think you're 12?
No. Exactly. So you've got an exciting month ahead. You've got a lot going on.
Oh, I'm just trying to plug my little one-man show. I wrote a show about being a baby boomer. I was doing one-man shows about politics, but then they would all evaporate after the election. And the 2012 one really decimated me because, you know, you had those great characters, you know, Santorum and Perry and Christie and Kane, and they all led the polls. And then on November 7th, 2012, the show evaporated. And I'm not like Stewart or the guy in HBO, you know, I don't have 15 writers on staff working 5 days. They're the Walmarts of political comedy. I'm a small boutique in Soho. I'm hand-stitching every joke. So I wrote a show about being a baby boomer because I figure I'll always be a baby boomer. And this is my secret agenda. I will share it with you. Don't tell anybody. And your listeners are sworn to secrecy. But my theory is if I get the right audience of baby boomers, I can do the same show over and over and over, and it will always seem fresh to them.
Especially if they've taken part in the early part of your show, which I believe involves some LSD, right?
From LSD, yeah, but yeah, that was a while ago.
Well, Boomer Raging from LSD to OMG will be at the theater on San Pedro Square from May 22nd to 23rd. That's this weekend.
Friday and Saturday, oh, tomorrow and Saturday. Two shows on Saturday, a matinee for the old people so they can go out and have dinner.
Well, you mentioned all your wonderful setups for your current show, but boy, it sounds like you're going to have a new show that's writing itself as far as these Republican candidates are going.
Man, that's a big clown car, isn't it? They just keep coming out. They're going to need a convertible, honest to God. Yeah, it looks like it's right now. I think somebody dropped out the other day, and I forget who it was, but he finally said, no, I'm not. But otherwise, there's 20, count them, 20. Kasich is going to get in there. Somebody's announcing the day after tomorrow. I mean, they just keep coming. It's wave after wave of ignorance and stupidity. Oh, I'm sorry. I might have betrayed a bias there.
Yeah. No, nonsense. Will Durst has been considered a mix of Mort Saul and Will Rogers, homegrown here in San Francisco. Will, we're going to be talking more with you shortly, but I mentioned early on that we're going to have a live music treat as part of this hour.
Yeah, it's Palmer Lemon Kin. It's like Bachman-Turner Overdrive, only different.
Well, let's hear some of that live music from our musical guest, the Black Cedar Trio, and then we'll talk some more with Chris Palmer and about the trio's upcoming events. Hit it, guys.
Thank you.
Black Cedar Trio. Let me turn off Carnegie Hall there for a minute. Black Cedar Trio, Chris Palmer on flute, guitarist Steve Lin, and cellist Nancy Kim here in the studios of KALW San Francisco. I'm David LaTulipe, your host for Open Air. Joining me on the microphone instead of the flute now is Chris Palmer.
Hello, David.
Hi, Chris. Welcome back to Open Air. I'm so glad that you guys could come on.
Thanks for having us.
Well, congratulations on the grant from the San Francisco Chamber Friends of Chamber Music.
Thank you to them. We appreciate the support. Yes.
And you've got a concert coming up tonight, don't you?
We do. The San Francisco Center for New Music at 55 Taylor Street, otherwise known as 6th and Turk. You're driving up 6th, and I was like, wait a minute, there it is. I'm on Taylor. Yeah. 7:30.
You know, it's interesting because we have another guest that's going to be coming on shortly that also is representing some wonderful arts activities that's happening in the Tenderloin, Glenn Havlin, who is involved with Shakespeare production of The Taming of the Shrew at
nice.
A newly created or renovated theater, the Kelly Cullen Community Auditorium.
Nice.
So the Tenderloin is the place to be. I'm sure Will could tell us some stories about some other days of the Tenderloin, which we'll be on in a little bit to talk about. Chris, we're going to hear some of your recorded music a little bit later in this hour, but tell us what else has been going on with this the trio. You guys have been really pushing the boundaries of music.
That's our mission. That's our mission in life. We're the only trio that we can find out there that's devoted to music for flute, cello, and guitar. And so our musical mission in life is finding music for that, finding music that can work for that, even if somebody didn't intend it for that, and then having composers make new music for that type of combo.
Very nice.
And we're coming out with a CD. Should be out early next year. We're in the studio in this year, off and on this year, getting in and out, getting tracks laid down. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Blackcedar.biz for more information about coming concerts. It's Chris Palmer, flutist with the Black Cedar Trio. We'll hear more from you. I'm going to sprinkle you throughout this hour, not only with your music, but with your talk. So let's turn things back over to Will Durst for a second. Will, I mentioned that the Tenderloin's fairly well represented today. You have some experience performing in the area.
Yeah, we did Waiting for Godot there with the George Coates Performance Group. That was a while ago. That was my trotting the boards. And the boards were difficult to trot because they were raked on like an 18-degree rake.
And oh, my gosh.
I remember the first night our stool, Pazzo's stool from Waiting for Godot, fell into the audience and... That's all the reviewers could talk about. Don't sit in the front row. So we were known as the most dangerous show in town.
Well, one place I know you have great familiarization with is The Marsh. And we're going to talk by phone shortly with Echo Brown, who has a solo show at The Marsh called Black Virgins Are Not for Hipsters. Talk to me about your...
It's a great title.
I'm glad you didn't do a spit take.
Yeah.
There. You took a sip.
No, when your title makes people laugh, that's a good thing.
You've got a long-time reputation at the Marsh. Reputation,
yeah.
Shall I say.
Yeah, well, they've been... The Marsh's Stephanie Weissman has been very, very good to me. I did my... Like to laugh there for a year. We started out on Super Tuesday in February, and we went all the way until election night, and it was wonderful. And then I started, incubated Boomeraging there.
The Marsh is all about. It's about incubating these one-person shows.
Oh, and the talent that they get. You know, they have Brian Copeland has three or four shows that are in repertory, constantly running, and the Hoyle boys,
you know,
Jeff and
father
Dan.
Father and son, yeah, had them
father.
Both on.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, and then there's Marga Gomez,
right.
Another comedian.
Marilyn Pittman's done a one-person
yes,
show.
Yes, and you know, she's been a safe harbor in a very tumultuous kind of performing, because, you know... And I'm too old for the comedy clubs. The kids just stare at me like, why is this bitter old man lecturing me? So that's why I need the theater audiences. I do.
Well, what's wonderful about you is you're keeping the art of keeping us honest about what's going on in the ridiculous world of politics alive, and we all appreciate that.
Yeah, it's almost a little too easy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think of candidates like Clinton coming up, it's like, and even Obama, why would you want this office? compare what you have to go through.
There's got to be some perks that we don't know about, you know?
Well, it's the post...
Foot massages at the dinner table while you're sitting there.
I think it's the post-presidential speaking fees is what they're looking forward to most of all.
That definitely bumps up into seven figures as soon as you're nominated. You know, I bet you Romney could get seven figures if he wanted.
Well, he doesn't need them.
No.
That's true.
The naked pool?
Yeah, the senator.
Really?
Yeah, senators have that pool where they skinny dive, skinny dip.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
Mr.
We need
Mr.
to talk to Steve.
Lynn, thank you so much.
And then the female senators were complaining that they can't go to the pool.
they can't skinny dip.
Well, I mean, they could.
You know, that's the tyranny, the whole tyranny of bathing suits, I think.
Will, one of the reasons I asked you to come on is to help us make some phone rings today. We are in our last day of our May membership campaign, and you can offer a number.
No, it's not a pledge drive, is it?
We don't want to call it a pledge drive. We want to call it becoming involved in the community that is KALW.
That's right. It's a chance to embrace your community. That's what this is. And, you know, if we're 91.7, everybody knows KALW 91.7. And for a gift of 91.70, see how clever that is, we just added a zero and moved the decimal point. The new KALW t-shirt. Green sprigs of kale arranged in a W on a field of yellow. Get it? No, I don't. But it's also available in kid sizes. Oh,
I see. It's on display out there.
Oh, there it is.
KALW. Get it? Come on, get it? Get it?
KALW. It's a KALW.
I know you're not of a generation that's into the whole kale thing. That's probably why you're missing the
Oh, no, I love the dried kale.
Oh, good. All
yeah,
right.
I bake my kale. Yeah, I bake my kale. And if you're able to contribute $500, there's all sorts of generous listeners out there. And just listen to David LaTulippe, man. I mean, this is because he's got the pipeline to what's happening in town. And I know there's regular listeners that would be bereft of knowing where to go if it weren't for him. So if you're able... And there's only a couple of you out there who can contribute $500. Host David LaTulippe will offer your own personal concert or party music with your choice of accompaniment, guitar, harp, strings, or jazz trio, or even the world's first flautist guitar...
Cello.
Comedian.
cello trio.
We'll throw in a comedian, too. How's that?
What? Huh?
Yeah. Ooh.
We'll check the calendar first.
I'll give you a personal joke. I'll write a personal joke. For you. If you call 800-525-9917 or just go to KALW, not KLW, but KALW.org. Come on, you guys. I mean, what would you do without this place? You know, you'd be sitting there, you'd be listening to the dreck and awful stuff, and with the ads that are just. And I don't know about you, but I have had my quota of ads. I am full of ads. I cannot. I mute the TV when I watch it. I try to watch stuff without ads. The same thing with radio. I can't listen to ads anymore. And that's why you guys. And this is not an ad. I want to point that out. This is a plea. This is a begging, actually, so that we can continue to bring the community.
Well, what's extraordinary, Will, is that we only come to you twice a year to ask for your support, which is very unusual in public radio.
May and November?
May and September.
September.
And this goal we set as an ambitious number, $375,000 over 10 days. And I'm really thrilled to announce that we're at less than $40,000 to go.
Oh, no
kidding. We're trying to end the drive late today. So we need those phones to ring.
Contribute. You guys out there, you know, dig into the what is 10 bucks a month. That's 120 bucks. You can afford that. That's like three cappuccinos, you know, at Starbucks. Not that I'm not anti. I love the Starbucks. When you're in Akron in the airport and you see that green kiosk, it's like a Spielberg moment. Oh, it's slow motion waving. But yeah, exactly, with the doves. No, that's John Woo, actually.
I meant to go, something, I don't know. I don't know what sound I'm looking for.
Michael Myers. Yeah, very nice.
Hey, Will, I'm going to ask you to put some headphones on because we have on the phone with us Echo Brown, who is the aforementioned star of the one-person show, Black Virgins Are Not for Hipsters. since she's at the Marsh. 23-year-old Echo is about to lose her virginity to a good-looking white hipster on Craigslist. With that introduction, I just need to say that Echo Brown is a writer, performer, and playwright originally from Cleveland with a degree from Dartmouth in her pocket. And to talk more about the show, I'm pleased to welcome her by phone. Echo Brown, welcome to Open Air.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure, and I'm sorry you couldn't be with us in person. We've got Will Marsh. Will Marsh. Durst.
Will Marsh Durst. Of the Durst.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Will has done many a show at the Marsh, so he can tell you the secret exits in case that audience gets hostile.
I know where the smoke hole is, Echo Brown.
Oh, thank you. That would have been helpful last Thursday. We had quite the audience.
Are you running every Thursday?
I'm running Thursdays and Saturdays.
Oh, cool.
Now through June 6th. Now, Echo, I want you to tell us the story of how you made this journey from an investigator who investigated allegations of misconduct against members of the New York City Police Department to then study investigative journalism and now a performer here in San Francisco. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, being an investigator was my first job after I graduated from Dartmouth, and it was quite the introduction to the real world. And I would walk into these interview rooms, and I'm this 23-year-old young graduate, and I'd be interviewing these cops who had been on the force for like 20 years, trying to get information from them, trying to put together these investigations. And the reason that I decided to go into journalism at Columbia was because I just wanted to do more kind of investigative work. I wanted to do kind of work that... was helpful to people in terms of helping them get to the bottom of things and looking into things. And after that, I moved to California and worked for an organization called Challenge Day, and we traveled the country doing these workshops in high schools, teaching kids about how to connect to each other and how to create safe spaces. And as part of that work, I had to tell my life story. And it was from that I learned how impactful storytelling is, and I was really good at it, and somebody told me about the Marsh, and the rest is history.
And now you're doing that full-time as a full-time storyteller.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. The show is running through June 6th. What have you learned through your director, Scott Plate, and how did you meet up with Scott?
I learned a lot from Scott. I learned about how to create characters, and I actually met Scott through Airbnb. So I had another director at the time, but it wasn't working out, and I needed to switch my Airbnb. And serendipitously, I ended up at Scott's house and was telling him about some of the things that were happening with my other director. And he was completely open to the project. He became my director. We worked together. And he just has an incredible knowledge base of the arts and theater, and he's based in Cleveland.
What are the odds that you would move in with your future director? That is so serendipitous.
It was so serendipitous. I mean, out of all the places I could have landed, switching my Airbnb, it was amazing.
That's neat. And you, this whole story, Black Virgins Are Not for Hipsters, was developed with David Ford.
Yes, it was developed with David Ford. And so I started taking... David offers these introductory classes at the Marsh every season. So I just randomly started taking a class with him and started developing this story. And, you know, initially I thought I was just going to write this fun, cute story about online dating in the Bay Area and some of the experiences, the crazy experiences that I had had. And I talk about that a little bit, but the show turned out to be something completely different. It went a lot deeper than I thought it was going to go. I explored experiences that I didn't know I was going to talk about. So that's the creative process.
Well, now you've got to start talking about them. You talked about your own journey. Now, the show has an interesting setup with and an interesting title. Will was just saying how important it is to have a great title. Black Virgins Are Not for Hipsters. So how does this story unfold?
So it starts with me being very nervous about this white hipster that I met on Craigslist coming over to, quote-unquote, deflower me. And so over the course of the night, I'm calling my best friend, asking her what I should do, and Ryan is on his way. And as Ryan is on his way, I start talking about these other experiences, so some experiences that I had in Cleveland, some experiences that I had with German men in Germany. So actually the night becomes a way to unpack other experiences. It becomes kind of a lens into other parts of my life.
Fascinating. And Will is raising his hand. He's got a question.
I have a question.
Sure.
You said the guy from Craigslist was coming over to, quote, unquote, deflower you. Did you advertise for this service?
Indeed, I did.
You did? Why? How? Who? What's the...
Specifically, were you looking for a white hipster, though?
You know, I have done some of my best dating on Craigslist. I have to be honest. I have tried OkCupid. I've tried Match.com. And sometimes you just randomly meet great people on Craigslist who are just like, hey, what's out there? And it kind of worked out this way. This guy actually turned out, we actually were in a relationship for 4 years, and it, you know, turned out to be great. And it was from Craigslist.
You're living a charmed life, young lady.
Well, I'd like to congratulate both you and Will for being, I think, the first to mention the process of deflowering on open air. So thanks very much for that. I had one guest drop an F-bomb a couple months ago. That was exciting. And now we have my own deflowering here on open air. Well, I wish you a spectacular run, Echo. I'm sorry we couldn't say congratulations in person. Your show, Black Virgins Are Not for Hipsters, runs through now through the 6th of June. Information at themarsh.org. Thanks for coming in via phone.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great, good luck.
Well, we learned a little bit on that, didn't we, Will?
Wow, I didn't know you could advertise for that on Craigslist.
Well,
this Craig is very ubiquitous.
Well, Will, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the film that's been making the rounds and that's soon to be shown up at the Mendocino Film Festival.
Next weekend, Three Still Standing, and it's a documentary by Beanfield Productions, which is Robert Campos and Donna Lo Cicero. And there are a couple of filmmakers who started out in San Francisco, and they were aficionados of the comedy scene in the 80s, and then they moved, and they went to Miami, and they went to comedy clubs there, and they were severely disappointed because it was a totally different thing. And so they made their living in documentaries, and they were huge on the Discovery Channel, and then they moved back to San Francisco, and they started seeing the same faces in the comedy scene that they saw when they were here, and wondering why me and Johnny Steele and Larry Bubbles Brown never moved to L.A., and they started doing a little survey about the comedy scene today and the difference between the early 80s, and then it blossomed into a full-blown documentary. Three Still Standing. It's got an agent. It's looking for a distributor, and you can go to threestillstanding.com to find out more, or donate to the cause, but you should really call 800-525-9917 if you're looking to alleviate your wallet of a couple of ounces there. It's pretty odd to see yourself on a big screen. I can't tell if it's good because all I can think of is, Jesus, my forehead really that big? I can't believe. But it's about the scene. Of the comedy scene of the, and then it kind of parallels, you know, there's an analogy to real life because the way the corporations kind of took over the comedy scene in the aughts and the teens now. So Live Nation pretty much runs comedy in this town. So it's we have, you know, the famous comics who did make it out of town. And they come back and they generously gave their time. And Dana Carvey and Paula Poundstone and a couple of other people, Rob Schneider and Robin Williams, actually down. It's one of his last on-camera soirees. So it's a lot of fun. And we're going to do, in Mendocino, we're going to show the film. And then the next night, we're going to do excerpts from the film and then a live performance of the three comics.
Neat. So the 29th and 30th, we'll see screenings for the Mendocino Film Festival. And then a live standing, three still standing live on stage on the 30th as well.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. My wife is really looking forward to Mendocino.
How is Debbie?
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's much funnier than I am, which still pisses me off. She used to work with Glenn Havlin. Yeah, and they're going to be working together this summer at the Marin Shakes in production of Cymbeline.
Oh, nice.
I keep wanting to say Cymbeline, but I'm not sure. We're not even sure Shakespeare wrote it. So.
Ah, all right. Yeah. Well, Shakespeare did write The Taming of the Shrew, which director Glenn Havlin is going to be here on Open Air to talk about in this new production that's running through the end of this month at the new Kelly Cullen Community Auditorium in the Tenderloin. But first, we do have to make some phones ring, Will. 800-525-9917. I put together a list just yesterday, and it kind of surprised me.
You know, this list is amazing. And this is just since January. This isn't, you know, like 4.5 months. I mean, these are the local arts institutions and creative teams, actors, musicians, choreographers, and directors that have appeared on Open Air. I mean, you've heard from Theater Rhino, New Conservatory Theater, the San Francisco Playhouse, the Fog Theater, the Marsh, Cutting Ball Theater, 42nd Street Moon, Theater Works, Opera San Jose, the San Francisco Opera, the San Francisco Symphony, Aurora Theater, Young People's Symphony, Berkeley Symphony, African American Shakespeare Company, San Francisco Choral Society, the California Symphony, the Youth Musical Theater Center of Berkeley, Opera Parallele, Parallel, I imagine.
Yes.
California Box Society, Magnificat, Jewish Music Festival, the Word for Word at Z Space, ODC Dance Company, which is one of the best dance companies in the world, Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, Hill Barn Theater, the Oakland East Bay Symphony, Switchboard Festival at Bravo Theater, the San Francisco Wind Ensemble, Jeffrey Hoyle, Smune Ballet, another world-class ballet, San Francisco Girls Chorus, and the Sarah Bush Dance Project. Not to mention, not to forget, last but not least, the Black Cedar Trio Choral Ensemble.
Well, Black Cedar Trio.
Oh, not choral.
They might sing if we twist their arms and respective limbs.
Miss Kim, do we sing?
But...
No, she's just
but
staring
it
at me.
It is interesting that's just...
And she takes her bow to her cello just to prove, no, I'm not saying. I sing through my instrument.
Well, that's just the voice that Open Air has given since January. I mean, it's astounding that we offer this kind of a vehicle for people just to talk about what they're doing here in the Bay Area art scene.
You are a jewel, not an undiscovered treasure. Actually, you are a discovered treasure of the Bay Area performing arts world.
800-525-9917. If you're able to offer a gift of $91.70, we'll send you our fantastic Too Cute for Words KLW t-shirt with sprigs of kale arranged in the letter W on a beautiful field of yellow. $91.70. And if you're a generous donor who is able to offer us a $500 gift, yours truly, host of Open Air, David LaTulipe, will take his flute and maybe an alto flute along with me. Find your choice of guitar, harp, string trio, or perhaps a jazz group and provide you with your own personal concert or perhaps some party music. A $500 gift when you call 800-525-9917. Very happy to offer my modest talents to the greater KLW listenership.
And they appreciate them. I hope so. I hope those phones are ringing right now. And that number is 800-525-9917. Call right now.
We're going to turn things back over to a live performance by the Black Cedar Trio. But I'd like flutist Chris Palmer to talk a little about, and perhaps Steve Lynn can offer us a little insight into this next work, which is Chinnery Young. Steve, you want to talk a little bit about that work?
Chinnery Young, yeah. This next piece, Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Well, Chinnery Young is Cambodian, and he was studying in the United States and finishing up his undergrad degree right at a moment when Pol Pot was coming to power, and the obligations of his grant that allowed him to be here in the States getting his undergrad degree, the obligations were that he had to return home to Cambodia once his degree was done. And literally, if I understand the story right, either the day before he had to get on a plane, I think it was the day before, and he had nothing... keeping him here in the United States. He wanted to stay, but there was nothing. And he ran into somebody in an elevator, and that led to graduate school, I believe, at Columbia University. And he says in an interview with the San Diego Tribune, he said, if I had not been in that elevator, I would have been on the plane the next day to Cambodia, and being an intellectual, he would have perished. And his three brothers and one sister perished at the hands of the Khmer Rouge. So there's much pain in this particular piece, Luminous Spirals. There's pain. You'll hear that in the opening. Yeah, we're going to play a little bit of that pain for you.
Black Cedar Trio, live in the KALW studios with Luminous Spirals.
Oh.
by the Black Cedar Trio, Luminous Spirals. Chris, will that be performed as part of tonight's concert?
That's the opening, yes, of one of the pieces tonight. And that's a combination of Chinnery Ung combining his Cambodian folk music heritage with his serialism, and atonal trainings.
And you're doing a marvelous job of imitating, is it a Cambodian style flute that you're trying to get?
Well, he wrote that part for Shakuhachi.
Ah,
so
okay.
when it was originally commissioned by the guitarist Yamashita, Chinnery Ung wrote it for acoustic guitar, cello, and Shakuhachi, Japanese flute. So you can take the modern flute and do some manipulations and do an imitation of some of the Shakuhachi effects.
Which you did just beautifully. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's also Steve Lin on guitar and Nancy Kim on cello. They can be heard tonight at the Center for New Music here in San Francisco. Rarely heard contemporary trios for flute, cello, and guitar, plus some new music by three local composers. Who are the other composers represented in tonight's show?
David Smith, Garrett Schatzer, and Derwin C. Great guys.
Mm-hmm.
And allow me to say that in June 14th, we're going on Indiegogo to raise money to pay these poor guys for all the hours that they're spending writing this music. And it's well after the fundraising campaign for KALW is done.
I was going to say, we will be happy to...
donate today. Give your money today to KALW at kalw.org.
Or
1-800-525-9917. But come June 14th, you can look for Black Cedar on Indiegogo.
And information about Black Cedar Trio at blackcedar.biz. And then you're going to be down in Campbell later in the month of June, and then July here back in San Francisco to perform as part of the Old First Concert Series.
Yes, that's a beautiful venue. So we're thrilled to be there.
Yeah, so July 12th for that concert. And again, more information at blackcedar.biz. I want to thank the three of you for coming in today. We're going to hear from you in a recorded level before the hour's up, but this is... we're very thrilled that you guys could do a live element as well.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. And more with Will Durst as well. And Peter Robinson will be by to talk a bit about a few movies that he's seen recently. And Will's going to talk more about all things Durst and all things considered for KALW.
This is the beacon of the Bay Area arts community, and the light is shining bright on all of us because of David LaTulipe, and so please, you guys, throw some money our way. It's not going to hurt. It's tax deductible. It's 800-525-9917. Let's keep this precious resource alive. Just think of it as Hetch Hetchy. You know, it's a Hetch Hetchy arts community. It's the water. It's the aqua vitae. You know, it's what we really need.
Well, speaking of aqua vitae in the Tenderloin, I'm very pleased to be joined.
You are Captain Segway. I got to tell you that. you went from Shakespeare to Shakespeare. You are good, David.
I try. Well, Will, you made me familiar with Glenn Havlin. I was originally having him to talk strictly about the Kelly Cullen Community Auditorium, but for 10 years he was involved very much so in the San Francisco Free Civic Theater. Glenn Havlin, welcome to Open Air, and maybe you can share with us what that experience was like.
Well, thank you, David. Thrilled to the gills to be here today. That was a free public theater program that was on the model of the New York Public Theater. My great idol in life was Joseph Papp, and we were trying to build it into something that was very much like that, using city facilities and opening up public areas for people to enjoy the arts. And it worked for about 10 years, and then it didn't.
Isn't that the way it goes sometimes?
Well, it was right. He got decimated right at the last recession, 2008, 2009. People were... it was hard to get publicity, too.
Interesting.
It was, but we had built up by word of mouth and by just repeat visitors, a really good group of people who really knew what we were doing and were letting us do things. We did strange plays with large casts, and people trusted that we were going to entertain them as well. Mm-hmm. And it worked out pretty well. And Debbie Durst was in a couple of our shows, too. That was pretty great.
Oh, fantastic.
Including probably the best one we ever did. Skin of Our Teeth.
Yeah.
Probably the best show we did, and she had a lot to do with that.
That was a great production, man. That's a tough play.
Yeah. Mm.
So now you're back in a new theater in the Tenderloin, which was completely off my radar. I need to thank volunteer Andre, who was working in our phone room the other day.
Yeah, me too.
She gave me this flyer saying, you know, there's a production of The Taming Shrew in the Tenderloin. And I was like, oh.
You made that noise?
Yeah, indeed. So let's talk about, first of all, this auditorium, Kelly Cullen Community Auditorium. Where is it and how is it?
Well, it's at 220 Golden Gate Avenue at the corner of Leavenworth Street, and it is the old downtown YMCA. It was opened in 1910. President Taft personally cut the ribbon. It was a very important part of the rebuilding of that area. When you're at that address, you're standing right in the middle of where the fire was.
Oh, my gosh.
And the opening of the YMCA at that location was a very important part of the rebuilding of that area, important enough that the president came out to participate in the ceremonies.
Wow.
We've got some really great pictures of it just standing there completely alone with nothing else around it, you know, and these little horse-drawn carriages riding past it and everything. It was a YMCA for 100 years, and it slowly deteriorated. They sort of went out of the hotel business. A lot of YMCAs, some of them to this day, are transient hotels, but they still had some of those same facilities. I've run into some people who said, oh, yeah, I did a show there in the 80s, you know, or the 90s, you know, when the YMCA was letting out that auditorium for productions. It's currently owned by the Tenderloin Neighborhood Development Corporation. They're a very large-scale corporation with a very right-on mission. They're committed to low-income housing, particularly for the chronically homeless and recovering community. And they normally own hotels, apartment buildings, SROs, that sort of thing. So when they got this building and renovated it, they had a facility in there that they really didn't have a lot of experience working with. It was this beautiful auditorium. And this is really nice. I mean, this is even pre-Art Deco, okay? This is like 1910. It's this Edwardian-era neoclassical beautiful building with this marvelous gold facade around the edge of the proscenium. It's just in a balcony with little hat racks underneath the chairs. It's really quite amazing.
So how is this concealed from the public for so long then? Did it fall into disrepair, or they just weren't letting it out, or what?
The later stages of its ownership by the YMCA, they did let it out. There were some commercial theater productions in there. But yes, it basically did fall into disrepair. When the TNDC bought it, they took several years to renovate it, and it's really very nicely done. The rooms are nice and clean. They've got a nice rooftop garden. There is, of course, a full YMCA gymnasium on the upper floors. They did convert the swimming pool in the basement to a large multi-purpose room and cover it over. You can still smell the chlorine in there after 100 years of being a swimming pool.
Wow.
But it's a really nice room. And we managed to get in there through some connections that I have. I work in the Tenderloin. I'm a city employee, and I work for a department that has my offices in the Tenderloin. And I work with a lot of nonprofit service providers, these kind of people. Through that network, I had found out about it, went to this mixer, which was designed to get people who do these different kinds of programs in the Tenderloin together. And I saw this guy, he had a name tag that said Tenderloin Neighborhood Development Corporation. So I introduced myself. Turns out he was a resident. He was the resident board of directors member, and he was an actor. And he had seen, this guy's name, Dave Seiler. I really want to thank Dave Seiler because he really got this whole thing going. He had seen the potential of the room, and he knew what could be done, but he didn't have any personal production experience. He didn't have the resources. He didn't have a network of people, which I had from development through 10 years with the Free Civic Theater. So he got me in. Dave fast-tracked the whole thing. He got me all the way up directly to the chief operating officer of the TNDC, which is a huge multi-million-dollar corporation. They own numerous buildings in the Tenderloin and other areas of San Francisco, and was able to convince them that what we were doing was adding a cultural component to the mission of the TNDC, and that's the difference here. We are not operating a business. The Theater of Others, which is the name of our group, is not in any way a commercial theater production company. We are a cultural component to the mission of the TNDC in partnership with them that is doing these shows in this fabulous auditorium on a pay-what-you-will basis for all performances.
That's interesting you should say that, because that's kind of, speaking of segues, Will Durst, this is a pay-as-you-will station. If you're able to contribute $10, we're happy to take $10. If you're able to contribute $1,000, and people have done that this drive, we encourage you to become a part of the KLW community.
And if somebody wants to just listen, you're cool with that, too. And
exactly.
That was our thing, too.
Exactly.
I mean, if people want to donate to us, we have uses we can put it to. And if you just want to come in and sit down and see the show, that's fine with us, too. We're in some merry band of Shakespeare nuts, basically. This is a partnership with someone I met last year in a production of Hamlet. I was playing Claudius. He was playing the ghost. His name is Dan Mack. And Dan and I just hit it off. We had a lot in common about our interest in Shakespeare, what we wanted to get out of it, what we wanted from a theater company. And we sort of threw in together at the same time that I was getting access to this facility. And it came together very fast. We met in, well, I guess about March, April of last year, and by November we had a show in front of people in this venue. We intend to do 3 or 4 productions a year there.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing, too,
What's the theater seat?
Well, it seats over 400 is the total capacity. I mean, it's huge. And there are no fixed seats in it. It is actually an auditorium, which is to say it's there for musical performance, and the open floor is intended likely as a dance floor. So there are freestanding seats that we put out there. There is fixed seating in the balcony, and we are not drawing 400 quite yet, but we're hoping to get that. So it's a huge place with a lot of upside, mm-hmm. and it's part of a larger community that's really growing in the Tenderloin right now of different kind of theater groups. Obviously, the Exit Theater has been there for a very long time. They're more of a venue and a producing agency. Now, Piano Fight is at 144 Taylor, which is nearby, right around the corner. They've got a great thing going there, and they also
Original
have,
Joe's used to be.
Yeah, Original That's, Joe's. They still have the bar is still intact there.
They're in that space.
Yeah, they've developed a couple of really nice venues in there. They have a restaurant and a bar, and the Fault Line Theater Group is in residence there. Also, Cutting Ball is in residence at the Exit on Taylor. And we are right now trying to put together, I've spoken to Rob, who's one of the owners over at Piano Fight, about a kind of mutual support society that we can put together of Tenderloin theaters. I'm certain that what's good for one of us is good for all of us. We're not stepping on each other's toes in any way. We are primarily a classical theater company. Faultline does new plays. Cutting Ball does what they call documentary theater. So we're doing a lot of different kinds of things. And that whole neighborhood is really growing as far as a center for the arts.
Well, I thank you for coming in to talking about The Taming of the Shrew. You can find out more information at wehavemet.org. I love that title, /others. wehavemet.org.
We've got a Facebook page, too. We don't have a website yet, but we have a Facebook page.
Taming of the Shrew, directed by Glenn Havlin. It's a pay-it-as-you-will production at this newly rediscovered Kelly Cullen Community Auditorium, 220 Golden Gate Avenue. Thanks again for coming in, Glenn. And I'm going to ask Chris Palmer to just explain a little bit about the music background that I'm going to be playing underneath us as you are performing this tonight as part of the Contemporary Works at San Francisco Center for New Music. We have a pre-recorded cut that we have. You can't hear it because you're not wearing headphones, but explain to me what we're hearing here, and we'll hear a little bit more as we move into our next segment.
Well, if it sounds fast and upbeat, it's from... No, it's not that. It's the other one. I can't hear it, but if it sounds fast and upbeat...
Have a quick listen.
It's by Nathan Kolosko. Nathan Kolosko, he's an American composer, but he's of Hungarian background. And he wrote this great piece in 2012. He called it Hungarian Trio. And he takes ancient Hungarian melodies and dances and turns them into this great trio for our combo form. It's really entertaining. And he uses our modern instruments, you know, the modern orchestral cello, modern guitar, modern flute. He uses our instruments to imitate ancient Hungarian instruments. So there's something called a percussive cello that you don't really bow, you just whack on. So Nancy
right.
whacks very nicely on her really expensive cello. And there's some type of, you know, plucked string instrument, at least there is in every culture. And there's something called a shepherd's flute ancient Hungarian tradition. So I imitate a shepherd's flute.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks again for coming in, Chris.
Sure.
And I wish you wonderful performances. More information at blackcedar.biz. Leaving that music going a little bit with now Peter Robinson joining me for our next segment here on KALW during this, our May membership campaign. Hi, Peter.
Hi, David. Good to be here. And you've certainly done it again. We've had classical music, we've had humor from Will, and we've even had Taming of the Shrew thrown in. So, as they say, kiss me, Kate. Let's move to the world of art, and I've been up at the Palace of the Legion, and I certainly recommend the current show. These are 55 paintings from the Scottish Art Galleries in Edinburgh, and it's an outstanding exhibition which runs from as early as Botticelli, the Virgin adoring the sleeping Christ, which goes back to 1490, and essentially is probably the first time in 150 years that it's left Scotland. Now, the title of the exhibition is From Botticelli to Braque, so it includes a very eclectic collection, including, for example, the 17th century painters El Greco, Diego Velázquez, Anthony van Dyck, Rembrandt, and then in the 19th century, Pizarro, Degas, Monet, and Sargent. Paul Gauguin is in there, and Cézanne. So if you want a wide range of art, I would certainly recommend going up to the palace for at least 60 minutes. And on Friday, which is tomorrow, the palace is really a happening place. They have a little jazz ensemble playing in the café. There is an excellent lecture coming up. I've heard the person speak from Stamford. He's speaking about one of Constable's paintings. So, effectively, what you've got is really, I consider it, the best export from Scotland. And today, no jokes from me about the bagpipes. I always felt the bagpipes were indeed an instrument a gentleman knew how to play but didn't. So here we go with some of the great Scottish paintings of all time.
Very nice.
Now, moving over to something slightly different, which is happening both at the Kabuki in the city here and also in the Lark Theatre in Marin, is a new way, I've mentioned it before, of filming plays, which comes direct from the National Theatre in London. And this is that great Bernard Shaw play written in 1904, Man and Superman. Shaw, very wordy. I always say I'm not sure about Wilde, but I'm wild about Shaw. And in this particular case, it's a long play. Be warned, there's an intermission. It is 3.5 hours. The good news is they've cut it down from 4. And at the centre of the action is Ralph Fiennes. So we really have some wonderful acting, well directed, well worth the time. And often with Shaw, it's not a bad thing to, if you can do it, to read the play ahead of time. And as we move from the theatre to the real screen, this has also been a particularly good year for films about fashion. It's fashionable to make movies about fashion. I think it's hard to top one I remember from the recent past, The Devil Wears Prada, but there are two currently running. One is on Christian Dior. It's called Dior and I. And there is a kind of legend around Paris nowadays that Christian Dior's ghost still haunts the streets of Paris, and he actually oversees, or there is somebody overseeing the exhibition. So this is a story about a new director who's taken over at the Dior collection and how he makes it from the old days of off-the-rack, made-to-measure to high couture. Highly recommended, and certainly if you're a fashion buff, something you'll enjoy. And finally, a great New York character, Iris Apef. She is hard to describe her. She is a designer. She calls herself a geriatric starlet. She's 91. She appears in full costume, necklaces, gaudy colours, and above all, the gift of the gab. She can talk her way out of a paper bag onto the screen and beyond. So this particular movie is called Iris. I highly recommend, and it's playing in San Rafael at the San Rafael Theatre on 4th Street. So really, there is a wide variety of choices over the next few days. If you're interested in art and painting, up at the Palace, the Legion of Honour, the last 3 or 4 days of this outstanding Scottish exhibition, which has come from Edinburgh. And then, in terms of National Theatre, Man and Superman, a wonderful production with Ralph Fiennes. And then for the Fashionistas, two great documentaries bringing us the world of dress, costume, design, all brought together in two different documentaries, Christian Dior and I, and Iris Apef.
Thank you so much, Peter, for that insight into some things to do here in the Bay Area. And a perfect segue, I think, from Peter back to Will will be what's coming up on the BBC.
Good evening and welcome to the Money Programme. Tonight, on the Money Programme, we're going to look at money. Lots of it, on film and in the studio. Some of it in nice piles, others in lovely clanky bits of loose change. Some of it neatly counted into fat little hundreds, delicate fivers stuffed into bulging wallets, nice, crisp, clean checks, pert pieces of copper coinage thrust deep into trouser pockets, romantic foreign money rolling against the thigh with rough familiarity, beautiful wayward curlicued banknotes, filigree copper plating cheek by jowl with tumbling hexagonal milled edges rubbing gently against the terse leather of beautifully balanced bankbooks. Sorry, but I love money. All money. I've always wanted money. To handle, to touch, the smell of the rainwash florin, the lure of the lira, the glitter and the glory of the guinea, the romance of the ruble, the feel of the franc, the heel of the Deutschmark, the cold antiseptic sting of the Swiss franc, and the sunburnt splendor of the Australian dollar.
I've got £90,000 in my pajamas. I've got £40,000.
A perfect segue to bring Will Durst.
What was that?
That was Monty Python, vintage Monty
wow,
Python.
Wow, I love money.
Eric Idle. a lot of currencies that are no more, you mentioned.
That's what I noticed, yeah. The rain-washed florin, I love that.
Well, interestingly, those currencies have come and gone, but KALW endures. We're entering 75 years next year.
And you can listener make sure supported. That it does endure. 75 years?
Yeah, next year.
Wow, is that diamond?
We're older than dirt. I don't know
is
if
that
we're older than diamonds. We might.
No, I think that's a diamond celebration.
You
I'm
can offer.
Sure.
You can will your diamonds to KALW.
Yes.
That could be part of our campaign next
year.
Go to
KALW.org. Find out how.
800-525-9917 is the number to call. Funny man, Will Durst has his shows in San Jose coming up. More information about Will Durst at willdurst.com. You're a .com, aren't you?
I am a .com. Good. I wanted to be Durst.com, but Seymour got it ahead of me. Seymour was Robert Durst, who's been in the news a little bit lately. That was his dad, and they owned a lot of Times Square, the Durst family.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
relation.
I know you're more keen on political humor, but I wanted to test your mettle and give you a couple of setups for what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, indeed. What?
Well, it's so dry that.
It's so dry. Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, that you don't see wash me in car windows anymore. Remember people used to use their finger and write in the dust, you know, wash me? You don't see that anymore. I wonder if it's going to go the opposite way. I wonder if people will take soap on brand new Mercedes and go, don't wash me.
Well, you know, I think it's so dry that flower children on Haight Street are wearing succulents in their hair instead of daisies.
That is funny. Let to leap. That's funny, man.
Well, now I need
succulents.
To,
saying the word succulent is funny.
I need to, well, we already had.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Well, it has to do with anyway.
See, you don't get this on that other NPR station. No, only at KALW.
It brings up something interesting, though. I have to give credit where credit is due. That's not my original joke. I read that in Leah Garchik's column, a good friend of KALW. Leah is often on our Minds Over Matter panel. She overheard that from courtesy of Elizabeth O. That was in the Chronicle in Leah's column. Also, it's so dry that when I turn on the tap, Jerry Brown's voice comes out.
I'd rather have fire from fracking. We're bringing back all the bumper stickers. You know, save water, shower with a friend.
Right.
If it's yellow, let it mellow. And, yeah, I think it's so dry, even the Republicans are starting to echo.
Well, let's talk about the Pacific trade deal. That trade deal is so bad that
We don't know. It's in secret.
Oh, I know.
It's all leaking rumors. We have no idea how bad it is. And I like Obama, I got to admit. If he's, you know, but I like Clinton, too. And then look at the 97, the communications bill. That was kind of ruined radio for everybody. It's funny, because in school, when I went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, I majored in journalism and broadcasting. Both of those fields. Thank God I had comedy to fall back on.
Well, back to the joke that I stole or borrowed from someone. How does that work as a performing comedian? If you hear something that is really tremendously funny that you didn't create, do you just say it and give credit to it, or you just kind of claim it for yourself?
You can do that. You can't do it on stage.
Yeah.
It's hard on stage, especially after it's been in Leah Garchek and everybody in the world has read it. You know, but if you hear it from a civilian and you can guarantee that its provenance was not from a late-night talk show. But that's one of the reasons why I don't watch late-night talk shows, because I don't want to be influenced. I don't want something bubbling up a couple months later, and I think it was mine. Mine! like the seagulls in, what was the movie? Finding Nemo. Mine! Mine! Mine!
Mine, 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 mine. We just have about 20 seconds to offer the phone number. First of all, I want to thank you for coming in today. We'll have you again soon.
800-525-9917. Call and contribute. Give until it hurts, or don't give it until it hurts. Just give.